Well, with Mother's Day on the calendar tomorrow, I want to begin the sermon this afternoon with a question for each of us to ponder. How much does your mother weigh? Teens, do not whisper to your friends. Do not make eye contact with your mom right now. Just bear with me. Trust me. Now, that may seem like a really odd question to ask. You may even think I have a death wish to ask it with so many moms in the room. But my reaction time is pretty good. I think I could duck if they do throw something at me. The question isn't just about mothers, though. I want to include the dads today as well. How heavy is your father? Today, before many take time to give their mother's special acknowledgement tomorrow and increase the overall profit of Hallmark by millions of dollars, I want to take a closer look this afternoon at the fifth commandment. And as we do, we'll come to see that the fifth commandment is a heavy duty for us all. As we examine this command today, we want to consider four basic questions. What does it mean to honor? Whose duty is it? What does honor look like in action? And what are we modeling as honor? We'll spend most of our time on questions 1 and 3, but I think the other two are important to consider as well. I want to go ahead and acknowledge up front that this is the kind of message that can be hard for some. It can be a tough topic for those who either have lost a parent and perhaps have some regrets about the relationship that they can no longer repair. It can also be a tough message for those who had or have a very unhealthy relationship with a parent who was, frankly, very hard to love, much less honor. Hopefully, as we go through the message today, we'll be able to draw out a couple of applications for those who may be in those situations as well. But let's start back here in Exodus chapter 20. If you'll go with me back to the first recording here of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, and we'll read verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. No surprise there. I'd venture to guess most of you knew which commandment we were going to be talking before we read verse 12. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ summarizes the Ten Commandments with two great commandments. When he's asked and he's questioned about which law is the greatest of all the laws, he responds and he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." But he follows that up with, "And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In other words, these two commandments sum up the entirety of the Ten Commandments. The first four of the Ten Commandments show us, in essence, how to love God. And the last six show us how to love our neighbor as ourself. And I don't think it's a coincidence at all that this commandment we're going to focus on today is right there in the middle, like a hinge point between the two. And we tend to include this commandment, honor your father and your mother, as part of that section of the law that talks about how to love your neighbor. But in a very real sense, it's also part of the first great commandment about how to love God. Because when we show honor to our parents, our physical father or mother, we show honor to our Father in heaven as well. We show honor to our ultimate parent by striving to actively honor our physical parents. So what does it mean to honor? I think it's such a common word, we can take it for granted and not give it much thought or study. We want to look into that a bit today. The word that's translated honor here from the original Hebrew text is the word kabad. K-A-B-A-D, kabad. And it has an interesting meaning. Thayer's, actually this would be not Thayer's, this is Brown, Driver, and Briggs, excuse me, says it means to be heavy or to make heavy. Hence the question at the beginning, how much does your mother weigh? Strong says this word kabod means to be heavy, that is, in a bad sense, to be burdensome, severe, or dull, or in a good sense, numerous, rich, and honorable. And then it finishes the definition with to make weighty. So to put the fifth commandment into practice, to honor our father and our mother, and in turn also honor God, we need to be making our parents weighty. What does that mean? Now, this same word that's translated honor, it's used a lot in the Bible. It's used 114 times in the Old Testament. And it's translated quite a number of different ways. Very often it is translated honor or honorable. But it's translated several other ways too, and I think we can learn a bit from considering how else it's used. As one of those definitions described, it can be used in a bad sense or in a good one. On the more negative side of the use of the term, this same word, kabod, that's translated honor, for honor your father and mother, it's the same word that's translated hard or hardened in reference over and over again to Pharaoh. That Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not allow the children of Israel to leave Egypt. That act of hardening his heart is the same word for honor. It's also translated fierce in other places, in Judges and in 1 Samuel, when it's talking about a battle that grew sore or a battle that grew fierce. That word translated fierce is the same word for honor. It's also often translated heavy or heaviness or burden. Again, in a negative sense, for example, scriptures that say things like, the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people. They felt a pressure, a heaviness, a burden. It's translated burden or burdens or to burden someone on several occasions. When it's speaking in the time of Rehoboam, speaking of Solomon and how he oppressed the people, he was harsh with them. It says his yoke was heavy. Well, it doesn't mean his yoke was honorable, but there was something about it that was thick, heavy, oppressive. And when it's translated in a more positive sense, this Hebrew word kabod can be translated in ways such as to become greater or to prevail. And a lot of the references as I went through these, interestingly enough, were translated as glorify. To glorify or glorified or to make glorious. Glorious things of thee are spoken. That word honor, kabod, is translated glorious. When the Psalms talk often about praising God, it says he who offers him praise glorifies him. To glorify, to lift up, is that same word for honor. So from these examples and how the word is translated, what we see, I believe, brethren, is that the sense of this word includes an adding to, or a making more weighty, or adding a burden, hardening a heart, as if adding layers of material. Becoming greater, glorifying, adding value to in the way we treat something. I want to look also how this command is referenced in the word that's used in the New Testament. If you'll go over with me to Matthew 15, we have an example here when Jesus Christ actually quotes the fifth commandment directly. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Matthew 15, verse 1. It says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me, it's a gift from God. It's a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. What he's talking about here is a tradition of the religious leaders where when people's parents needed help, they needed financial support. Men at this time would say, sorry, mom and dad, that extra money I have, that property that I'm using as investment income, it's Corban. It's a gift to God. I've dedicated that money, that whatever I make from that, I'm going to give it to God. It's going to be an extra offering that I give to the church, we might say. And Christ was saying they held up their traditions of men, this practice, higher than the law of God. Because they were striving to appear religious to others by giving in this way to the temple or to its service, if they even followed through on it. But they used this Corban, saying this is a gift from God, sorry, I can't help you out, this money is dedicated to other purposes already. They used that as an excuse to not honor their own parents. The word that's used honor here in the New Testament is the Greek word timeo, T-I-M-A-O, timeo. And Thayer says it means to estimate or fix the value. To estimate or fix the value. Definition number two says to honor, to have an honor, to revere or venerate. To estimate or fix the value. Think about that in comparison to the word in Hebrew, to make heavy. And then Strong's, in regard to this word honor here in the New Testament, I love the way it phrases the definition here. It says to prize. That is to fix a valuation upon, by implication to revere, honor, or value. These two definitions go hand in hand. To make something heavy is to give value to it, to consider it valuable. This Greek word translated honor, it's used 21 times in the New Testament. And 20 out of those 21 times it's translated honor or a form of that word, honorable, something like that. Just one time it's translated differently. And it's in a reference in Matthew 27 verse 9 to what Judas did when he betrayed Jesus Christ. And he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. And in Matthew 27, verse 9, it says, in reference to those 30 pieces of silver, that they were the value of him who was priced, timeo. The value of him who was honored? Not quite. It's a reference to his worth. You know, the Messiah was betrayed, considered worth only 30 pieces of silver. This New Testament word, I think, helps us better understand the concept of honor wrapped up in the fifth commandment. It is to make weighty, to make heavy, to estimate or fix the value upon, to prize. And you know, we probably have all heard the saying, you're worth your weight in gold. You're worth your weight in gold. Well, that's a saying because value is weighed. How do we determine how much something is worth? The coins we have, the money we have, originally, before you just printed it whenever you wanted it, was based on weight, the value of the material. What something was worth was measured by how much it weighed. And we have the same concept wrapped up here in this command to honor our parents. We're to value their worth, to prize them, to make them heavy in our own minds, in our own hearts, and then to allow our words and actions to reflect that value of them that is deep within. It's the heart behind the outward expressions of honor that's key. It's the heart of honor that God wants to see in us and in his people. as an expression of love for others, and in turn as an expression of love for him. And sometimes also looking at the opposite of a particular word, the meaning of its opposite, helps us to understand a term better too. Well, here in verse 4, Matthew 15, verse 4, Christ quoted the fifth commandment, but he quoted another passage too. He said, whoever says to his father, verse 4, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. He quotes from another passage, this time from Leviticus 20, verse 9. He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. That's a really encouraging verse to read to a group of teens on a Sabbath when we know we have lots of teens together. All right, check. Told them they're going to die. But the word back in Leviticus 20, verse 9, that's used there for curse, he who curses his father or mother will be put to death. It means to be slight, to be swift, to be trifling, to be of little account, or to be light. Definition number 2 says to be insignificant. And number 3, to be lightly esteemed. The same words used in other passages in the Old Testament, including Deuteronomy 27, verse 16. That one says, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. That word contempt is the same word for curse. And Young's literal translation is interesting the way it phrases that passage in Deuteronomy 27, 16. Young's says, cursed is he who is making light of his father and his mother. So we see direct opposites here in these terms. We have this contrast between honoring in terms of making something heavy, adding value to it in our minds and in our actions, versus cursing father and mother, which is to lightly esteem or to treat our parents as if they're of little account or significance. To honor means to value, to give weight to. So how much does your dad weigh? How heavy is your mama? This is the part where my wife said, no, you've got to cut out the your mama jokes. Because I had a couple in there and she said, that's not going to fly. So, if you do still need an idea tonight for a gift for your mother, though, for tomorrow, you can go out and buy a scale. I mean, okay. Don't take gift advice from me because you're looking at a guy who a couple years ago bought his wife a can opener for her birthday. So, moving on to our second big question today. We talked about what does it mean to honor? It is to add weight, to value. Question number 2, whose duty is it to honor? Whose duty is it to honor? In other words, is the fifth commandment just for kids? Is it just for the young? This will be a brief point here, but really we could spend an entire message on it. Especially when you look at lots of passages in Scripture that give instructions to children, a lot of them are way more applicable as adults than they are to young kids. The bottom line is we read no age limit in the fifth commandment. We tend to think about it as being for kids, which it is, but it does not exclude us as adults either. Now, not everyone here is a parent, but everyone here, regardless of age, is a child. Is a son or a daughter to someone. And the fifth commandment is just as much for us as adult children as it is for the little ones that are still in their parents' care. In fact, I would propose that the depth of the fifth commandment increases with age. Because it's one thing to honor your parents as a child in your formative years, or even as a teen, when you're still under your parents' roof and their rules. But the choice to honor and to give weight, value to our parents becomes much more a personal choice and requires much more proactive effort when you're no longer under your parents' command. When you have freedom, the fifth commandment actually gets a little more challenging to keep because no one's making you do it. At a young age, you honor your parents or you suffer the consequences, frankly. Whether that's physical discipline or loss of privileges or the wrath of a frustrated parent. But as you grow older, you become more independent. You're no longer forced to honor your parents in that same way, like you were when you were a child. As you gain independence, honoring is much more an act of character than an act of compliance. And that's an important point for us to note. Honoring is much more an act of character than an act of compliance. There's a turning point as we get older when keeping the fifth commandment is not so much a reaction to the authority of our parents as it is a proactive choice to give them weight, even when we're not forced to. So like I mentioned before, some of the scriptures we read are much more applicable to us as adults. Some of the practical applications that we'll discuss in the remainder of this message are possible for the young, but are really amplified as we get older. So let's move on to question number 3. What does honor look like in action? What does honor look like in action? You know, it's one thing to say, honor your father and your mother, to think about what that word honor means and say, okay, I'm supposed to value them. But what does that look like in the day-to-day? First of all, we'll go through several different examples here. This will definitely not be an exhaustive list, but we'll highlight a number of examples. Because honor has many faces. It takes many forms. It's not a one-size-fits-all. I think that's why we don't have a further description in the Ten Commandments. God doesn't say, honor your father and mother, and here's a checklist for you of how to do it. It can be expressed in many different ways, at different times, depending on different circumstances. But regardless of how it manifests itself most in each of us individually, honor should be shapely. It should have some dimension to it. It should have an attractiveness to the recipient. It's not just one to-do item. It comes in many forms. So the first one we'll talk about, the most obvious one that perhaps applies to the younger more than the older, is obedience. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You might add another word before that word obedience, and that is respectful. Respectful obedience. That's what honor looks like in action from the youngest of ages. Ephesians chapter 6, a very simple instruction here. I do think it's interesting, though, and a good thing for us to note that Paul's writing to the congregation of brethren. He's writing to people he considers part of the church. And he addresses a verse directly to children here. You are a part of God's church. You're part of the congregation, part of the body. Important enough for the Apostle Paul to write a special message just to you. Ephesians 6, verse 1 simply says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. It's the right thing to do. It's the most basic form of how you show honor. And verse 2, he quotes the commandment, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Respectful obedience. If you'll turn over just a couple of pages to Colossians chapter 3, we see Paul made it a point to address children in Ephesus as well. I'm sorry, in Colossae. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. We read a very similar instruction, but the last phrase is a bit different and important to note. Colossians 3, verse 20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to your mom and dad. Well, yeah, but that's not what Paul says. Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's pleasing to God when we respond to our parents in honor, giving them weight and value by simply obeying with a respectful attitude. So children and teens, you honor your parents. You make heavy the value of your parents when you simply choose to do what they say because they said to. sometimes that's the only reason required. Because they said to. Because you want to show honor. So you simply obey. Of course, the instruction we read there in Ephesians was to obey your parents in the Lord. We obey everything they instruct us to do that's in line with God's law. If they fly off the handle, they instruct us to do something that's in violation of God's commands. We don't obey that. We have a higher Father that we report to, that we're striving to honor. But when their instructions are in line with God's word, we obey our parents because we value them. And because we value God. Not because we necessarily agree with what they're telling us to do, not because we necessarily want to do it, but because they're weighty. Of course, the way that we obey reflects how much weight we really place on our parents. That's why I added that extra word, respectful obedience. Obedience with respect is what adds to the scale. Obedience with respect is what makes our parents feel honored. Obedience with scorn does not. There's a proverb we want to read here. Let's go back to Proverbs 30, verse 17. Proverbs 30, verse 17. This is also on that checklist. So you're giving a sermon to a large group of teens and also lots of other people in the congregation. It's not just the teens here. You told them if they curse their parents, they're going to die. Why don't you also read Proverbs 30, verse 17? Okay. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. No, not all. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. All scripture is profitable. Not all scripture makes good word art, though. So parents, please don't print this one out and put it above your mantle, above your fireplace. What's interesting here, though, to draw out is that it doesn't just say this about someone who disobeys. It's talking about someone who scorns obedience to his mother. It doesn't say he refused to do what she said. We can obey, but lack respect. And when we do that, there's no weight added to the scale in terms of the honor that our parents feel. We all know firsthand that we can obey with the absence of respect. Obey with perhaps an eye roll and a heavy sigh and plenty of complaining along the way. But what weight does that give? True honor through obedience must be motivated by a right heart. So we give our parents weight through respectful obedience. Even when perhaps we don't feel like it or we don't agree with their perspective, we do it because we want to express our value of them. Not necessarily because we value the decision that they made. But the irony is, teens especially, younger kids too, when our parents see that we're giving weight to them through simple obedience in a respectful manner, they're often then more willing to give weight to us. With time, they begin to value our input and our desires when it comes to negotiable decisions. But it starts with us, respectful obedience. How else is honor shown in action? Listening. Listening is the second item I jotted down. And you might be thinking, wait, we just talked about obedience. You already covered that. But listening is something else. The form of listening I'm talking about is listening that also involves sharing. Yeah, what do parents want from their children? Especially as they get older. They want to have a relationship. They want to be able to talk with their kids about things that matter. So the listening and sharing I'm talking about is inviting your parents into your life. Being willing to talk to them about what you're going through, decisions you're trying to make, what you're facing. Seeking counsel or advice or perspective from your parents. That makes them heavy. That makes them honored and valued when you put weight on the wisdom that they have to offer. And when you're young, and when I say you, I'm including myself because I still have this idea in my head that I'm young. My older brother tries to remind me that I'm getting old, but he's always going to be older. When you're young, it's easy to get caught up in the idea that our parents, they just don't get it. They're just out of touch. Yeah, they were kids once. They were teenagers once, like 150 years ago. But it's different now. You know, it's true. The world is a very different place in many ways. But it's also true that God's word says there's nothing new under the sun. The younger you are when you can accept the fact that your parents simply want what's best for you, and sometimes, every now and then, they might actually have some wisdom to offer. The younger we realize that, the better off we'll be. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. None of us want to be foolish. Continuing in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. You might not realize it in the moment, but the wisdom they're trying to share with you is going to help you if you're just willing to hear it. There's so many other proverbs and scriptures we could turn to right now, but I'll leave that up to you to dig into that topic more. But the fact is that if you want to really keep the fifth commandment, really show honor to your parents, you need to give weight to their perspective. Give value to their wisdom. When you invite them in to what's going on in your life, when you trust them enough to share with them and then listen to what they have to say in response, that can be incredibly honoring. Because your parents do have wisdom to offer, if you're willing to hear it. And again, I'm speaking not only to young children, but to us adult children as well. We place incredible weight and value on our father and our mother when we simply are willing to extend an open ear. And there's no age limit to this method of showing honor. It's a proactive way of striving to honor our parents, even in the most strained parent-child relationships. Now, I understand that there are people that have relationships with their parents that are just not at this level, where you can openly discuss things with them and get their input and feel comfortable with that. There may be some here who know that they could never turn to their parents for wisdom in matters of morality or of doctrine or the application of God's law. But there may be a particular area of expertise that your father or your mother is skilled in, where you could actively strive to show them honor by seeking their advice on that limited topic. And Proverbs 29, verse 3 says, whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice. So we can give weight to our parents. We can make them feel honored. We can cause them to rejoice by simply listening to the wisdom they have to offer. Another example here. What does honor look like in action? We said respectful obedience, listening and sharing. How about speaking? Does the way we speak show honor? It absolutely can. Proverbs 30, we'll begin in verse 11. The way we speak, speaking with love to our parents, absolutely can show honor. But we're going to start here in chapter 30, verse 11, with an example of the opposite. Proverbs 30, verse 11, says, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. There's a generation that's pure in its own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are like swords and whose fangs are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Now, this passage makes me think of a meme I just saw a couple days ago. It said something to the effect of, I just heard a kid exchanging cuss words with his mother. When I was a child, I couldn't even say okay too hard. Some of you can relate to that. Okay, excuse me? You better check that okay. I read this passage here, and I can imagine, I'm sure you can too in your mind, not only the words in this kind of interaction, but also the tone, the body language, eyelids up, arms crossed, heavy sigh, maybe a little mumbling under the breath. Honor is manifested in the way we communicate. We show how much we value someone and what we think they're worth by the way we speak to them. And that's just as true for us as parents in the way we speak to our kids. But we're talking about the kids today, young and old alike. How do we speak to our parents? Do we speak in a way that adds weight? You know, in contrast to this passage we just read, in the next chapter we have a beautiful example. Before we move on, though, let's read verse 11 here again, Proverbs 30, verse 11, because there's one more aspect here we want to take note of. There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. What jumps out to me from that is that honoring our parents with our speech isn't just about what we say. It can also be about what we don't say. There's a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Let's go to the next chapter here, Proverbs 31, verse 28. This is in this section about the ideal woman, the virtuous wife. And it says something about her children here in verse 28. Proverbs 31, verse 28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her." Now, what does honor look like in action? How about praise? When was the last time that we complimented our parents? When was the last time we spent some time thinking about what we actually appreciate about them and then expressed it? If you want to really add weight and display honor and possibly make your parents pass out, praise them. Think about what you appreciate about them and express it. You know, this is one of those items that even those in the room who have lost loved ones, who don't have parents living any longer, can still put into practice. You can honor your father and your mother by the way that you speak about them to others, by the way you speak about them to God. Now, that last example, speaking highly of them in prayer, that may be a good option for both those who have lost parents, but also for those who have extremely challenging relationships with their parents. We can still take time to think about the good qualities they do have that we appreciate and express them, if not to anyone else, to God. And in doing so, we're displaying honor. We're showing that heart that God wants to see in us of giving value to our parents. That requires that we meditate on their good qualities and that we choose to focus on those and speak about those instead of maybe the other ones we could get caught up in speaking about much more. Sorry, Mom and Dad. Hope you're not listening on the webcast. That doesn't apply to you at all, I'm sure. Let's move on. What else? How else does honor manifest itself? What does it look like? Character. Proverbs 23. Let's go back to Proverbs 23, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 23, begin in verse 24. What do you mean, character? Well, Proverbs 23, verse 24 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." A child isn't just born wise or righteous. What it's talking about here is the product of putting into practice what we've been taught. And we read here that when we do that, when we strive to make choices and develop character that is wise, that is righteous, it can cause our parents to rejoice and to delight. It can certainly be an honor to them. So we honor our parents by striving to grow in godly character, by striving to bring honor upon the family name, by representing the family unit well. In John 15, we read that about God the Father. John 15, verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." That's how God feels honored. When we grow and we reflect his character, what he's like, that's when he's honored and glorified, and when he is most willing to say, "That's my son. That's my daughter." And remember, one of the many ways the word honor in the Old Testament was translated was to glorify, or to make glorious. That involves praise, but that also involves glorifying God, glorifying our physical parents as well, through our character. So we honor them, we bring weight or value upon them when we make wise choices, when we bear good fruits. It truly brings them joy. Look at verse 15 here in the same chapter. Proverbs 23, verse 15. "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself. Yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things." Parents are honored. They feel valued when they see their kids grow up to be good people. 3 John verse 4 also says this. 3 John verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." John's talking about walking in the truth. And he's speaking to the brethren, referring to them as children. But if he has no greater joy than to hear his spiritual children are walking in the truth, how much more the literal children of a father or mother in the church of God? There's no greater joy than to see your children walk in the truth, develop godly character, and strive to be more like Jesus Christ. Just as a side note, parents, I hope you feel honored. I hope you feel honored by the character of your kids. I know. You know them much better than I do. Surely there are wrinkles to smooth out. There are imperfections in their character. There are certainly areas for growth, as there are for all of us, regardless of our age. You likely know and see a lot of those flaws much more than I do. But I just want to mention that I hope you feel honored by the character of your kids, because we have a good group of young people here. And it speaks highly of you as parents. So keep up the good work. And young people, keep bringing honor to your parents through building godly character. Last one, how else does honor manifest itself? What does it look like? There are many more things we could talk about, but the last one I jotted down here is service. What does honor look like in action? Well, how can I not mention service, given our theme for Teen Speech Club this year? In Psalm 127, there's this short but beautiful psalm, which talks about children being a blessing. And verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 127 say, "Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemy in the gate. The idea we have here in this description, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, is that our children are an asset to us as parents. As children, young and old alike, we honor our parents by contributing to the good of the team. You are an asset to your family, and you can bring honor to your parents and to the family as a whole. You can add value to the family through your service. Really and truly, our greatest responsibility when it comes to service is at home. When we willingly serve there, we bring honor to our parents by showing that we value the team that we're a part of. But another aspect of our service relates to the older kids among us. Us adult children. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Another aspect of our service that is a manifestation of honor for our parents is our care and provision. Our care and provision. Many of you in this room are familiar with the fact that life is a bit of a cycle. We care for our kids, we provide for their every need, we guide them, we give them the help and support they need. And oftentimes the roles reverse later in life when our parents need us. 1 Timothy 5, beginning in verse 1, Paul's speaking to Timothy as a young minister, giving him advice and wisdom. He says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers." I think there's instruction for us there. As children, when our parents need our help, exhort them like a father in a loving way. Don't completely flip the role and speak to them as, "I'm in charge now, and this is what you're going to do." Exhort them like you would a father. Older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with all purity. In verse 3, honor widows who are really widows. Well, what does that mean, really, widows? Verse 4, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God." In this passage, when Paul's talking about widows who are really widows, he's talking about older people who simply don't have any family to help them out and to serve them and to provide for them. And he says throughout this passage, that's on us. When there are older family members who are in need, who need our service, whether that's our time, whether that's doing different tasks that they can no longer accomplish, or whether that's finances. Paul says we should step in and fill those needs. And then he goes on in the chapter to say, the church will help out the widows who are really widows that don't have anyone to serve them. But when we have someone in our family who needs us, the responsibility is on us to show piety at home and to repay our parents. And in doing that, we honor them. We show that we value them and we appreciate all that they've done for us. Verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And we often read that verse in isolation. It does stand alone. It does speak to our responsibility as parents to provide for the human beings that we chose to bring into the world or that we chose to take responsibility for. But in the context, it's also talking about caring for our parents, caring for the older family members in our midst who need our help. And down in verse 16, it says, "If any believing man or woman has widows, let them receive them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows, that don't have family to help them." So kids, take note. You've got to take care of us when we're old. We're going to need it. If you go back, or just think back to Matthew 15, where we read Jesus Christ quote the fifth commandment, he was talking about the same concept there when he chastised the scribes and the Pharisees for their traditions, which he said violated the command to honor their father and mother. They wouldn't give them the help they needed. Instead, they wanted to look righteous to the religious leaders and say, oh, these funds, that's Corban, it's for God. When really they were just trying to get out of helping their parents out. This is definitely a way that with time, as we age, we can honor our parents by serving them, even at times providing for them when they can't do it on their own. We could go on with many other examples of honor in action, but we'll stop there. But remember, the main point of this section, brethren, is that honor takes on many different forms. We should strive to be well-rounded in our honor of our parents. We should strive to show their value or their weight to us in many different ways. Fourth and final question. What are we modeling as honor? What are we modeling as honor? The point behind this question, brethren, is that we are modeling something. We are modeling honor for others, whether we realize it or not. Older children and teens, you're being a model for your younger siblings and for other kids in the congregation of what it looks like to honor your parents. You're setting the example of what's acceptable as an older child or a teen or a young adult. The same is true for adults in the room, too. We set an example for others around us about what honor looks like. And you know that's especially true as parents. We model what honor should look like, whether we realize it or not. We model what honor should look like by the way we honor our spouse. The way I consider or serve or listen to my spouse, the way I speak to my spouse, that's the standard that I'm setting for my own kids. That's what they see and think is acceptable in terms of how they can then go treat their mother or their father. But we're also modeling honor in the way we honor our own parents. This is a bit of a scary thought as this came to mind, but really, we're showing our own children through our example, hey, this is how I would like you to one day honor me when you're an adult and I'm older. This way you see me treat my parents, this is how I want you to treat me when I'm older. Is that true? Is the way we speak to or about our parents the way we want our own children to speak about us when we grow old? Is the time and attention that we give to our parents, whether in person or from afar, is that the amount of time and attention we would be happy with if our own children followed that same standard? I know I'm very guilty of this myself. Just talking to my mom last night, and I said, has it really been since Thanksgiving that we've seen you in person? And she said, mm-hmm. Is the service that we give our own parents that which we would be happy to receive ourselves if we were older and in need? You know, there's one intimate example that our kids see of how an adult should give weight to their older parents. And we're the ones setting it. And lastly, we model honor through the weight or the value we put on our children. They see that example intimately as well. Now, the command obviously is to honor our parents, but we make it easier for our kids to do so when we live in an honorable way. We first model for them what it should look like to give weight to another human being by the way that we make them feel valued or prized. And while the fifth commandment doesn't say, honor your father and your mother if they prove themselves honorable, it sure does make it a lot easier to obey the command if that is the case. If our parents are honorable people. So as parents, we set the bar of honor for our children. We set the standard of weight on the scale of what honor looks like. And what honor will look like definitely varies based on the situation. For a healthy family with a positive relationship between children and parents, honor may include giving of your time, visiting, serving, spending time on the phone, asking for advice or counsel, lending a helping hand. In other cases, the best way to honor a parent may simply be to stay cordial. To just stay cordial. And try not to get into it. Send a picture of the kids occasionally. Help ease a financial burden when you can. And in rare but extreme circumstances, the best way to honor a parent may be to simply pray for them and ask God to speed the future time when their minds will be healed and their character flaws, which caused you a lot of hurt and damage, will finally be addressed. Even in those extreme situations, you can honor your parents by desiring their healing, their forgiveness, their growth in character as much as your own. So honor, brethren, is not defined as one specific action in Exodus 20. There are examples of it we can find throughout Scripture, but it's really the heart behind these actions that God is focused on. It's the value of others, the weight we place on them in our hearts and minds that is then manifested in our words and actions. So how heavy is your mother? How much does your dad weigh? I'd like to leave each of us with an action step. That is, get out the scale. Get out the scale. Not literally. But spend some time assessing how much weight you're giving to your own parents, whether you're 15 or 55 or any other age. Consider what you do value about them rather than just focusing on what you wish would be different. And as you get out that scale and you consider these things, I'd like to challenge each of us to come up with one tangible action that we can take to make our parents heavy, to express our value of them. Just pick one thing. What will I do today or this week or this month or this year to actively give weight to my parents and show honor to them? I guarantee if you give this some thought and if you take this action, it'll be a much more meaningful gift than a Hallmark card or a breakfast out in a restaurant. It'll definitely be a better gift than buying your mom a scale. But the fifth commandment is a heavy duty. It's all about weight. So let's strive to grow in honoring our parents, regardless of our age, by prizing them and showing their value. The command is for all of us. Whether you're 5, 50, or I won't call anyone out who's older than that. But let's strive to be well-rounded models of honor in action. And in so doing, the greatest honor of all will be given to our Heavenly Father.